Jonathan Easter was saved at the age of 10, lying in his bed after a Wednesday night church service, wondering if he died that night, where he would go. He became interested in ministry because of his youth leaders and their impact on his life, and Jonathan himself loves to work with teens and young people and feels that this is God's calling on his life. He is a junior in the youth and family program with a concentration on biblical counseling. Jonathan's Christian service ministry is at his home church, Riverview Baptist in Ripple Mead, West Virginia, where he serves as the Awana game coordinator. He also has been able to conduct a two-year internship as a youth pastor in his home church. Jonathan will graduate from ABC this December and is planning to wed Miss Suki Jackson in May of 2020. Jonathan, we look forward to you sharing God's word with us. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning. It is a pleasure to be on this stage this morning. It is a whole lot different up here than it is down there. I will tell you that. But that's okay. I do want to thank my parents for being here this morning. I truly thank God that He gave me godly parents, because without them giving godly direction in my life, I probably wouldn't be standing before you this morning. So I do thank God for godly parents. Before we start, I want to go ahead and give you guys a challenge. We heard Eric give an awesome message on Monday. You're going to hear the same passage all week. You heard it Monday, you're going to hear it today, and you're going to hear it Friday. My challenge to you guys is that each time that the word is open and this passage is preached, it'll be different sermons from the same text, but to really dig in deep to it and apply whatever the preacher's preaching to your life. I can remember I was probably my freshman year here at ABC. I was in my chapel seat, and expository preaching week came around. And, well, first I was like, I would hate to be those guys because they would probably be really nervous. And so God has a sense of humor because here I am and I'm really nervous, but that's all right. Also, I found myself judging each one of them by the way they carried themselves instead of what they were presenting. And so I challenge you this morning to apply each of these messages to your life. This morning, we're going to be in Acts 16, 23 through 34. As you're turning there, I want to open up with a story. I heard this story from an old pastor, and he said it like this. There once was this man. He was wrongfully convicted of a crime. This man, he was very intelligent, but nonetheless, the jury was trying to find somebody to pin this crime on. So they pin it on this guy, and he gets put in prison. Well, years go by, and he's sad, he's mad, he's filled with emotions, until one day he realizes, you know, I can't change where I'm at right now. So he decided to make the best of it. As I mentioned before, he was a very intelligent man. So he could read, he could write, he could sing, and do many other things. So he decided, how about I'll help out those prisoners who can't do the things I can do. So in this story, we see that this man was making the best case for his circumstances. And that's going to be like the story we look at today of Paul and Silas in prison. Let's read together in Acts 16, 23 through 34. It says this, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that I can get up here and preach the word, Lord, that these aren't my words but yours. I thank you for this opportunity. Pray that when we read through this and go through this, Lord, we will find applications to apply to our lives, Lord, and that we can see the story of Paul and Silas and relate it to our lives today. We thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Please calm my nerves. Give me a calm spirit to get the message out clearly, Lord. All these things we ask in your name. Amen. So why were Paul and Silas in prison in the first place? I think it's important to give a little background here. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it as I want to hit the main text. But Paul and Silas were traveling, and as they were traveling, they found this woman who was possessed with demons. This woman had the power to tell people's futures. So she had masters who would benefit from this woman. She would receive money for her telling people's future. Well, Paul came along and, long story short, cast out this demon from the woman. And the masters weren't too happy about this. I mean, if you're running a business and a source of your income was cut, wouldn't you be trying to get to the source of the problem? So these masters found Paul and Silas, and they brought them unto the rulers. And in verse 20 it says, "And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." And this is where we pick up in verse 23. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed." So in these three verses, in 23 through 26, we see that Paul and Silas were beaten before they were even thrown into prison. There's no doubt that this beating was harsh and it was brutal. But even on top of this, the jailer, when he threw them into prison, put stocks on them. And this is what stocks were in those times. It says, "Stocks were made of two boards joined with iron clamps, leaving holes just big enough for the ankles. The prisoner's legs were placed across the lower board, and then the upper board was closed over them. These were designed to hold the most dangerous of prisoners." At this time, the jailer had no interest in Paul and Silas, and he certainly didn't have any interest in Christ. So what we're going to see here is dedication to Christ. What dedication do we see in these verses? Regardless of what Paul and Silas are going through here, regardless of this unfair punishment that they received, they still chose to praise God and sing hymns to Him. I think at this point, Paul and Silas had two options. They could have sat in that jail cell and talked to each other and said, "Why are we here? What's the point? We're just trying to spread the gospel, and now we're here. Why, God?" They could have been mad at God, but no. On the contrary, they praised God, even in the inner prison with stocks bound on him. They were praising God. So even the prisoners in verse 25, we can see that they were listening. When Paul and Silas were singing these hymns, the prisoners were listening to what they were singing. That shows us what? That shows us that Paul and Silas had to be great singers, right? I mean, if I was in a jail cell and I was singing, that's like an added extra sentence to the prisoner listening to me. But anyway, so... But there was no doubt that anyway, these these prisoners were listening, and because of Paul and Silas' testimony at these points, had an effect on the prisoners. I can think of circumstances in my life, and one comes to my mind. When I was a little boy, and I would get off the bus from K-4, you know, you don't have anything to worry about at that point in your life. You go to kindergarten, you sleep pretty much all day, you come home, and I would get off the bus and go to my aunt's house. And she would have food ready for me. I got to watch TV till my parents got home. I don't know if they knew that or not. But, you know, she let me basically do whatever I wanted. And as I got older, we kind of built this bond. She lived right up the road from me on Cheesy Creek. It's all family up there, I'm telling you. But she lived right up the road from me. So I would mow her yard, and we would spend time together. And the older I got, the better our relationship developed. And eventually, she was diagnosed with dementia. Well, as this dementia set in, she started to forget who I was. And this, to me, in my life, it was hard. Because here was a woman that I was close to, and now she doesn't even remember me or remember why I'm there. She later on went to pass away, and it was hard for me. And in this circumstance, I didn't want to praise God. I didn't want to lift up praises to Him. It's all I could think of. God, why did you let her get dementia? And why did it have to be that way, where she didn't even remember who I was when she passed away? I was not dedicated enough in my faith, like Paul and Silas were in their circumstances, to give praise to God regardless of what they were going through. I think of another story of dedication, and this is about a man named Ira Sankey. I don't know how many of you know who this is, but Ira Sankey was a famous songwriter and a preacher, and he was a song leader for the famous D.L. Moody. Well, before that, he was a Union soldier in the Civil War. While he was in the Civil War, one night, he was keeping night watch. While he was keeping night watch, I guess he was bored, and he started to sing. He started to sing hymns. Well, he thought he was all alone that night, just watching over the camp. Well, let's fast forward a little bit, and he was on a boat later, and he was traveling. And by this time, he was famous, and people knew who he was, and crowds started together, and he would start to sing for them. After he sang one song, a man came up to him, and he said, "Did you by any chance sing this certain hymn on this certain night while keeping night watch for this certain infantry?" Ira Sankey said, yes, I did. The man said, "You didn't know it, but I was a soldier for the Confederate Army. I was in the bushes watching you the whole time with my gun pointed right at you." He said, "I was about ready to shoot you when you started singing." He said, "I couldn't shoot you because it sounded so good. So I was just going to wait until you got done." After he told Ira Sankey this, the man said, I felt powerless to shoot you because you sang one of the hymns that my mom used to sing to me as a child. Later, Ira Sankey led this man and many others to Christ. It was because of Ira Sankey's dedication to praise God in all of whatever he was going through. He didn't know that this man was watching him. He didn't know that this man was about ready to kill him. But because of his dedication to Christ, he was always praising God, and it made a difference in this man's life, as well as many others. This morning, are you that dedicated? Paul and Silas' dedication in these verses was no joke. They took this very seriously, so seriously that that's why they ended up in prison. Dedication isn't always easy, but we can see in these verses that it's very possible. This morning, are you that dedicated to Christ? Are you dedicated like Paul and Silas were to Christ, even in the circumstances that they faced? So we have seen dedication to Christ. Now we're going to look at direction to Christ. In verses 27 through 32, read this, "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So what direction do we see in these verses? When you think of directions, sometimes I think about giving directions. Like if somebody was trying to come to my house, I would say, "Okay, go past this sign, go down the road 2 miles, turn at this store, go up the road 4.5 miles, and then that's where my house is at." And so, I mean, let's be real. If it wasn't for Google Maps, half of us would be lost the majority of the time. I mean, I know I would be. But have you ever given wrong directions? Or have you even given directions that were not clear enough for the person to understand? This was not what happened to Paul and Silas. They gave clear direction to the jailer in these verses. I see two kinds of direction that they give here. First, Paul and Silas give the jailer physical direction. In verse 27, the jailer was going to kill himself. He knew the consequences for escaped prisoners. He knew that he was going to die. But Paul and Silas intervened, causing the jailer to stop what he was doing. I think if the jailer would have killed himself that night, where do you think his eternal, where he would have spent eternity at? It wasn't heaven. Second, we see Paul and Silas gave the jailer spiritual direction. Because of the testimony of these two men, the jailer was begging to know what he must do to be saved. This next part, this is my favorite. I love this part in this passage. In response to the jailer's question in verse 31, Paul and Silas said this, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." That's all the jailer had to do was believe? Wow, what a simple sentence with a powerful message. That is the message of the gospel, and it is clear and it is understandable. In this verse, the jailer, is all he had to do was believe. And because of the direction that Paul and Silas gave to this man, his heart being softened by God, that night that man became a Christian. Praise the Lord. So how are we directing others? How are you directing others this morning? We have saw the direction to Christ that Paul and Silas gave the jailer. It was clear and it was to the point. It didn't have to be something fancy. It didn't have to be something well-spoken. Just the work of God. I think in today's time, a lot of times we are worried if we're going to say the right things or if we're going to mess up or what others might think of us. But regardless, we must look at this instance of Paul and Silas and how clear the message was. Are we giving direction like Paul and Silas? We must tell others about Christ and direct them to Christ. Are you doing that this morning? So we have seen dedication to Christ. We have seen direction to Christ. Now let's look at devotion to Christ. In verses 33 through 34, it reads this, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." There's a story from an unknown source about devotion, and this is how it goes. It is said that Cyrus, the founder of the Persian Empire, once had captured a prince and his family. When they came before him, the monarch asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" "The half of my wealth," was the prisoner's reply. "And if I release your children?" "Everything I possess." "And if I release your wife?" "Your majesty, I will give myself." Cyrus was so moved by the devotion of this man that he freed them all. I believe that this is the same devotion that we see in these passages. I see two examples of devotion in this passage. The first example of devotion is Paul and Silas's devotion to Christ. After their conversion of the jailer, Paul and Silas were devoted to helping and staying with the jailer. After the jailer's conversion, it would have been easy for Paul and Silas to move on, pack up camp, and head out. But they didn't. They were devoted to make sure that the jailer got baptized and that his family also heard about the gospel. Paul and Silas's devotion to Christ was so strong that they could go back to this man's house. I mean, could you imagine a man who threw you in jail, who bound you in stocks, now wanted you to come back to his house and tell his family about Jesus too? That is pure devotion. The second devotion I think we see in this passage is the jailer's devotion to Christ. In verse 33, we automatically see the drastic change of the jailer. Someone who prided himself on his work. This is what he did for a living. He threw people in jail. He was probably a mean man. But suddenly, he had a change of heart. This is what God can do in the hearts of men. He can take a hard heart and he can soften it. Also in verse 33, the jailer took Paul and Silas back to his home where he washed their stripes and was baptized. The jailer shows devotion to Christ because he then cared for God's servants in verse 34. He tended to their wounds. He provided food for them, all because his life had been transformed and he was a changed man. So that leaves me with this. Are you devoted? We have seen the example of Paul and Silas and their devotion. We have also seen the jailer's devotion in these last two verses. So the question is, are we devoted to Christ and to tell others about Him? Paul and Silas did it unashamedly. We must be devoted to Christ in such a way that it has a lasting impact on others. How devoted are you? We have seen the dedication to Christ. We have seen the direction to Christ. We have seen the devotion to Christ in this passage. Paul and Silas's testimony played a huge role in the salvation of the jailer. There was no doubt that if Paul and Silas would have left that night, that this would have been a whole different story. But they didn't. And because of that and their testimony to God, the jailer's heart was softened and was saved because he believed. How does your testimony and your life look in the midst of your circumstances? Will people look at you like they looked at Paul and Silas? Will they be able to tell you're a Christian? Do you praise God in all your circumstances? I'm sure some of you this morning are going through many different things. But regardless, are you praising God through it all? Today, we must challenge ourselves to always praise God and to always be a testimony for Him in any circumstance, just like Paul and Silas. Let's pray. Dear God, we once again thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us. We thank You for this account of Paul and Silas in the Bible that we can learn from and that we can apply to our lives. Lord, we thank You for being so great. We thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, Lord, so that all the Philippian jailer had to do in this passage was to believe and become a Christian. Help us to spread the good news of that gospel. Help us to be like Paul and Silas, and whatever we're going through, to praise You in the midst of any storm that we have to face. Lord, we praise You, and we thank You for everything that You've done for us and will continue to do for us. And all these things we ask in Your precious name. Amen.